Last week, there was an amazing message. I listened to the podcast. The week before that, there was an amazing message and I listened to that podcast. Who enjoyed the last couple of weeks of just incredible teaching that we're here? Wasn't it incredible? Ben and Adam, thank you, wherever you're sitting. I see Adam over here. Where's Ben? Ben, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, yeah. The amount of wealth that these guys are bringing to us through their messages has been stunning. And we just want to honour your teaching gift and your communication gift. Thank you. We're waiting for the next one. It'll be great. And as for me, I have the opportunity to share this week and next week. Yeah, I'm really happy about that. Thank you, clappers. And what... clappers, this is good. We're going to do lots of clapping today. I'm just really happy to be home with you all. And I'm also happy to be merging part of our series with what happened in Sydney. So the message might look a little different today, because we're going to bring back some of the things that we experienced as a movement at the Sydney conference. All the Vineyard churches got together last week in the two weekends. Some of us were able to go and just experience what it's like for the wider family to be together. And so we're going to release some of that stuff, share some of that stuff through story and through scripture. Okay, so let's turn to Joshua 1. Because we're doing a series on Joshua. So let's turn to the book of Joshua. This is where we are seeing all the goodness that Adam and Ben have led us up to, where we are reading this historic book of scripture through the lens of progressive revelation. So we're going to be bringing it back to what's Jesus say about this, as well as the historic accounts that we're reading. And so Ben really helped us with some tools about how to do that when he spoke about the elephant in the room. We are seeing that our view of God in the Old Testament also needs to be matched with the view of Jesus and what he brings. And our theology is going to be shaped by our view of God. Well, that was so stunning, the way that you wrapped that all together so well, talking about genocide. And then Adam last week was talking just about the cycle of obedience, because that's a very strong scriptural reference and theme as part of the Joshua account. And he brought obedience is love and love is obedience. Do you remember that from the New Testament? That he was actually bringing and linking that back in, that the book of Joshua reveals the nature of God as well as obedience is about love. That's the bottom line. It was really, really good. Really good. Obedience is acting in love and love in action, just like we saw on that screen with our Saturday morning life group. Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead, and now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river and the river of Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, it's a lot of land, toward going down to the going down of the sun, it shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Here we go. Listen to these three themes. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do all according to the law of that my Moses servant commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or the left, and you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be very careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? Here it is again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So today we're talking about courage and the nearness of God. And part of that is wrapped up in the theme that we're talking about thresholds. Do you remember when we talked about thresholds a few weeks ago? When we're moving from one reality to another. And so we're looking at the book of Joshua and we're seeing a lot of thresholds happening right there in that passage, aren't we? We're seeing where there's not only a movement of people coming across the Jordan, but there's actually a movement of leadership. Moses had died and the new leadership had come. And we're seeing it's moving from here to there through a lot of the things that we're experiencing through this passage. So there's the first threshold, passing on the leadership. Moses dies, Joshua's there ready to succeed. As his assistant, he's now the leader. Second threshold, stepping into God's plans. People are preparing to follow Joshua into a new land, new promises. And I just want to say, at this threshold, nothing can stop the plans of God. Leaders might change, nothing can stop the plans of God. God's plans that he's set for you, for your household, for your family, for this church, nothing can stop the plans of God. Wherever you go, Joshua, wherever your feet go, wherever my presence is with you, take courage. Nothing can stop the plans of God. So here we are, new leader. Here we are with Joshua, seeing that Moses is no longer with them to lead the way. And behind the scenes, passing that baton, behind the scenes, what had happened, there was a whole series of preparation for Joshua. The first thing was that the Lord identified him. The Lord said, that's the next leader. And then, and we'll see that in Numbers 27, and then Moses recognized that the Lord was saying that, and he heard that, and he recognized Joshua is the next leader. So he brought him, under the Lord's instructions, before the priest and before the congregation. So not only was it the Lord's selection and then Moses recognizing it, all the people saw it as well. Moses laid hands and blessed him, laid hands on him and blessed him in front of all the people and before the priest. This was the first time that the laying on of hands had happened. We do that a lot now. This is where it started. So Joshua was also recognized by the people that he was full of the spirit of wisdom. You want that in a leader, wouldn't you? Especially when what they were about to go into. So they recognized that not only had Moses placed his hands on him and God had selected him, but he recognized he also had the spirit of wisdom. So this quote kind of just summarizes, I think, where we're at with Joshua right now. Success always comes when preparation meets opportunity. And for some of you, you're going to walk into some opportunities over the next little while and you're going to realize, I'm prepared for this because of all that the Lord's been doing, leading you over thresholds, having courage, recognizing he's with you and recognizing you are ready for this next opportunity. And success will be yours. So as I'm going to just start to tune into some of those things, and your mind is probably going to go different places because the Holy Spirit is going to start to lead you into thinking about some places that you're prepared for and where you're going to get opportunity, you'll be ready. And if you're not prepared, we are recognizing right now there is a mobilization going on across the Vineyard where people are actually longing to be activated, equipped, and ready for the next thing. So they're ready for the threshold. So not only do we need equipping, preparation can look all sorts of ways. Preparation can look like just leaning in close to the nearness of God. Your relationship with Jesus is the first preparation. How are you going with that? How are you leaning into all that he's bringing to your life and through your life? Are you taking up his mission? Are you standing near a place where you know he's calling you into something different or something new? Are you following what the Father's doing? See, the first threshold that we just celebrate is the fact that we have relationship with the Father through Jesus. He's changed us from old creations to new creations, and he's blessed us from moving us from the threshold of darkness into light. And that's where we stand. We've actually got a word about that that we'll share a bit later. Specifically, the Lord's saying there are some people that feel like you haven't crossed from darkness into light, and the Lord's got just a beautiful word to encourage you that he knows about that. Turn to Hebrews 11. If we are filtering some of the things that we're seeing with Joshua, and we're seeing Moses did not quite make it through to the promised land, Hebrews 11 gives us some help on that, about how we are to view Moses and the fact that through his disobedience, he died in a land that wasn't his promises. So Hebrews 11 starts talking about faith. You know the whole chapter of Heroes of Faith? It would be remiss of me not to bring this, because it's one of my favourite chapters, of just being encouraged that we have people that have gone ahead of us, and we also have people that are around us cheering us on. So you can see from verses 27 to 30 through Hebrews 11, it's talking about the faith of Moses. So he's being acknowledged as the faith, a man, a hero of faith, and a friend of God. It was by faith that he left the land of Egypt. It was by faith that he commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea. It was by faith that that the people of Israel marched around Jericho, which you heard about last week as well. And then verse 39, and all these, the whole list of those heroes of faith, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did not receive their promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So even in this part, we're getting the heart of the Father telling us that we are still part of the story, and they are thinking about us, and they are also cheering us on, as we see in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, everything, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. This is what we've been singing about. This is what we celebrate when we gather together. And this is also the last few weeks in this series that we've been recognizing. It's all about keeping Jesus before us. So, thresholds. You need courage to cross thresholds. You need community around you to cross thresholds. And you also need the presence of God with you. And he is. Last week, we experienced some amazing stuff with the whole wider Vineyard family together. I'm just going to get a few people up now to tell you about some experiences that they had, some things they saw, and some things where they needed courage. So Barry Borneman is first. If you want to grab that, let's welcome Barry. And then we'll have Karen. So Karen, if you want to come in, and then Kate as well. Thanks.
Just before I tell my story, I want to welcome Budi and Natty over here from Indonesia. They're translators here to learn English, so please talk to them because they don't want to go with my form of English back to Indonesia. Now, that's a theme you put up, and if we can remember it, something about preparation leads to success. So this is a opportunity. It's the preparation leads to opportunity, only sometimes you don't know you're being prepared. The other night, last night of the prophetic living, right near the end, I just threw a one-liner out, which was something like, so where do dreams fit into this? And some people are sensitive to what God's doing. And so Di said, let's take that off course and have a conversation after the meeting. So we had this conversation. As I was explaining, a dream that I had of a colleague, it was a very vivid dream, which I was going to take absolutely no notice of. As I was explaining it to Di, suddenly I understood what it meant. I went, oh, that's what it means. And Di goes, yes, that's what it means. Like, how slow are you? No. No. No, that's not right. She's not like that, right? And so then I knew that I needed to share it, but I knew then I needed to share it with the gentleman who works at Wycliffe and his wife. And Marg and I are heading off to Sydney to go to the event last week, but also to look after the grandkids, right? So I'm thinking, I might not see them for a couple of months, and this seems urgent because the dream had him, it was a warning about him needing to slow down, or bad consequences might happen. Anyway, we go home and Mark said, we look up this gentleman and find that he's at Barrel for 2 days. You know Barrel, 3/4 of the way to Sydney. Send him a text, and him and his wife are off for 2 days. Can we meet? And we met in this beautiful garden, and I told him, I have a dream I need to share with you. So I'm thinking of this. This has sort of gone from a sort of an idea in the back of my head I was going to forget. Sort of gets mentioned that this thing, Di picks it up, explain it, now you understand it. Now I'm going to meet with him, and it's happening, him and his wife. So I go then and tell him the dream. And I said, this is the dream I have for you, but as I tell you, and I have an interpretation, but as I tell you, you will know exactly what it means. So I told him the dream, and his wife says to him, we were just talking about that yesterday, that you can't go any further. There's too much pressure in your life. Something needs to stop. And that's what the dream was. So she had affirmed it right there the day before. So there's a lot of preparation into that. And my other takeaway is it takes the body of Christ sometimes for this preparation to come out, because in our own, we often just put these things aside, which is what I was about to do. Now, what it means for that family would be quite amazing, because when I told them how it happened and the way it came together, God's got a special thing for them.
Awesome. Thank you. Well done.
Thank you, Barry. So, Di has already mentioned about the laying on of hands, and she already mentioned the word activation. So, at the School of Kingdom Ministry training that we did lay hands on each other, and we did do activations a lot, which was absolutely fantastic. It was really good to kind of step in and, I was going to say get your hands dirty, but that's not the right word. Anyhow, so I just wanted to share a story about one of the times somebody laid their hands on me. We were actually in pairs just praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come, the filling of the Holy Spirit. To give you some history, I have been a person who is not usually obviously affected. You can't kind of see stuff happening very readily. If God does show up for me, often it's just in tears. That's kind of how he works with me. I've often asked for something different and the tears still come. So, but that's cool. I know it's God. But this time, we were in pairs, and so it was talking about the principle of the mustard seed of faith. So when you see something happening, when you see Holy Spirit on somebody doing something, then bless what he's doing in order for him to grow that tiny mustard seed into something bigger. So in our pairs, I thought it might be a good idea if we pray for her first, because I didn't want her to be disappointed that God might not do something. I say that to be totally honest. So we pray for her. Holy Spirit comes, and she is cracking her sides with laughter. It was incredibly infectious. And it was heard right across the room. Very funny. Then she had to somehow compose herself to turn around and pray for me. And I stood there. And sometimes, you know, we can see the signs of the Holy Spirit on people, sometimes with the fluttering of the eyelids and, you know, stuff that you can't make up. And I don't know whether that happened or not, because obviously I couldn't see that. But I stood there. And it was very quiet, and it was very silent, and nothing really much happened visibly. And then my head turned, just a little thing like this. And so she prayed, as we'd been instructed to do, for God to do more. But internally, when my head moved, it was a wave of his presence that came through my whole body. And then, you know, eventually she prayed again, and there was just this gentle wave. So I just wanted to share that to let you know that the small things matter. That it's not always a big, elaborate, you know, event. It's just the small things. And it really mattered. And it was a touch of the nearness of God for me.
Okay, for me, I'm still kind of processing the whole week. There was a lot of stuff going on. So mine are probably going to be slightly less personal than what these guys just shared. So I just want to talk about a couple of things that I just sort of noticed over the week. And the first one is to do around prophecy. And some of you guys probably have noticed that I really love the prophetic. I love seeing what God does through it to other people and even to us. And so as Karen mentioned with the School of Kingdom Ministry, some of the training involved doing activations. And there was actually a couple of kids that happened to join in with us, I think maybe just because there wasn't childcare or something like that. Anyway, what I noticed while we were doing those activations that these kids were really jumping in and they were getting involved. And then at the end of the activations, the team that were leading us would ask for feedback and we'd just sort of discuss what was going on and, you know, discuss what the Lord had showed us or what he'd, you know, given us for the other person. And these kids were the first to put up their hand to share what, you know, either what the word they'd received from somebody else or the word that the Lord had given to them to give to somebody else. And they were just jumping in. And it just really, it grabbed my attention, it grabbed my heart. And I thought, these kids are just in it and they're doing it. They're not even really kind of second-guessing themselves or saying, can I do this, should I do this? And it just reminded, for me personally, that sometimes, particularly as adults, you know, we sort of really, we're hesitant about doing this sort of stuff. And I guess we're even hesitant about what God's doing through us. And I was just really encouraged by seeing them just taking a hold of that. And I thought, these kids are doing it, and so we should just be jumping in and doing it as well. So that was just encouraging for me. The other thing I just wanted to mention was, so Putty, who was one of the main speakers from America, he brought out a team, I think there was about 12 or 14 on the team, a bunch from the US. And there was one sort of particular time where they were talking about, Di, I'm coming into some of your stuff, but just the vineyard DNA, just the mothers and fathers and just the heritage, I guess, of the vineyard. And as we sort of, as they led us through that and we prayed through, had some ministry time, there was just a real sense of unity within the Vineyard Australia family. And it was just really amazing to be a part of, just to feel what was going on in the room and just how everyone just, yeah, just felt like this real unity. But for me as well, there was a team from the US, from a bunch of different Vineyard churches in the US, but they were all Vineyard. And the Lord just showed me that and reminded me that sometimes, you know, we can feel a little bit isolated, and even in our own churches we can feel a little bit isolated, and it's hard when, you know, we sort of see the battle going on and it's almost like, how can I or how can my church make a difference? But the Lord just reminded me that while we have Vineyard Australia, we are also part of a bigger body, part of a bigger Vineyard movement. So just having those guys with the US, from the US with us just reminded me that we're not alone here. You know, we have a bigger family with us in the US and even across the world. So, yeah, just there was a real sense of unity and family for me as well.
Good segue. So we've been looking at Joshua and we've been looking at him taking on, crossing a threshold, and what Kate's just described and what some of the stories that we've heard is happening here. And so what we get to see is that there's a reflection of what's happening local, and it's happening across Australia in our local in our churches. And so this is a window of opportunity that we just want to release over you guys too, recognizing that this is a time of generational unity. It's the first time, one of the first times that we've experienced and seen the Holy Spirit hunger is alight in our people. And we're experiencing that here, right? Plus, we're seeing we've got another generation to be passing it on to. And so it's not just the mothers and fathers who received stuff in the 90s or even before that are passing things on. We are part of that as well. And there's generational unity that is actually a blessing from the Lord. And so today we're going to be releasing some of that. We're going to be blessing mothers and fathers and sons and daughters of the Vineyard. If you are visiting here, you get to party with us. So welcome. So this church started in 1996, if you didn't know that, and then the Vineyard Australia was released in 2003, and that came from this church as well. So there's a lot of seeds that are within YVV that we're witnessing, not only a piece of prophetic future, we're also recognising that there's something that the Lord's bringing from the past, Moses and Joshua, crossing into new things. So the principle basically is that generational unity is our new wineskin to hold what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do for more than just a year, for more than just 2 years, for a decade and on into our future. Generational unity is the wineskin for that. And so we need to be for each other, whether you were at the start when the Vineyard was being released, or whether you are here now, or those that are coming, you're all part of that generational unity. And so for just the ease, rather than saying generational one and generational two, we're going to say mothers and fathers, and we're going to say sons and daughters, because we're family. That makes sense? And so today, we're going to see what God's going to release to us as a local church, and we'll see. Is it going to be quiet? Is it going to be loud? We don't know. I will tell you one funny story about our little fella that Kate was talking about. I'm standing there receiving some prayer, receiving good vineyard posture, right? This is how we stand, isn't it? And this little 13-year-old with an English accent came up to me. We've been doing very simple prayers, and he just said, "Moron, die." And I said, "Did you call me a moron?" That's the environment we're in, of just these little kids coming and going, "Did you just call me a moron?" And I'm like, "No." It was just hilarious. So you can get the words right or wrong, and God still just bless us. So here's what we want to do. We're in a pioneering work. We're still only 20 plus years old as a movement, and you being here, you are in a pioneering work. And so we're going to be seeing that the sons and daughters have their pioneering work to do, as do the mothers and fathers of the Vineyard have pioneering work to do. And as we do that together in unity, we're going to see a momentum of the Vineyard like we've never seen before, because the Lord blesses unity. And again, if you're from another church, or if you've come from another church, you're part of this just by being here today. So the first group we want to honour is the mothers and fathers, and this is how we're going to define that today. In a moment, we're going to ask you to stand up, but you're going to need to think about this, all right? Were you here not as a senior leader, a senior pastor, but were you here as part of church leadership for this vineyard or another vineyard from 2007 or before? Stand up. 2007 or before, stand up if you were part of leadership, carrying the vision and the heritage of the leaders. These are our mothers and fathers. Is there anyone else? 2007, yeah, let's go. First thing we say is we honour you. We thank you. The first thing we say is we recognise that you are still with us, and we recognise that you are still serving the Lord in the way that's so full of passion. Stay standing, because we're going to talk about you. Have a good look at them. I'm standing in both worlds, okay? So I'm going to just get a little bit of everything. So yes, I'm standing as well. These are our mothers and fathers, and we would not be here if we weren't for them. This church would not be here if it weren't for the heritage that they have brought with them. These people also carry this courage and the nearness of God, and we thank you for it. We thank you that for a long period of time, you have served the Vineyard movement, but you've also served the wider church. And we thank you that your presence here is because of his presence in you. And we realize that you are still living out this kingdom DNA and the Vineyard DNA, and you are releasing it, and we thank you. On a local level, we say thank you. Now, the funny thing about all these guys is that they're still in the trenches, as well as being mothers and fathers. And in a moment, we're going to recognise that mothers and fathers have another assignment that they are going to pioneer. And we're recognising that we see that you are still in the trenches, but we want to call you into a new place of pioneering. And we saw this in Sydney, but for this church, these are the people who had to decide what to do when the giving's down. Who to pay, what to cut. These are the ones that have carried that burden and responsibility. Some of them have said, pay someone else instead of me, and have sacrificed in that way. These are the people who have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed with us, and even buried some of our dearest, and then they've got up and prayed and prayed and prayed. These are the people also that have invested for years in this local church and in other cities and other locations, and they have released everything that they had. Even when it wasn't fun, they still turned up. And these are the people that have often gone offshore to get stuff to bring back to us in the early days. And we honour you for that and thank you for that as well. Let's give them a clap. So, if you are sitting near these guys, or even if you're not, let's go and lay hands on them. We're going to pray for these radical ones. We're going to bless them, and we're going to just release them into this new season, like the Moses and Joshua laying on of hands. So stand up, gather around. We can have like many, many people around them. As we do, just realize that the Holy Spirit right now is recognizing what they carry, and they carry the DNA of kingdom life and the DNA of the movement, and their role as mothers and fathers is to speak into things that we stray from when we're not carrying that DNA. Their role is to authenticate family. So as you lay your hands on them, just say more, Lord, as he releases their spirit, because fathers and mothers authenticate family. That's what their job is. Their job is to care for the family. Their job is to tell us when we are out of line, if we are doing things that don't represent our family. So we bless them and we pray for a new pioneering work as mothers and fathers. Lord, we thank you for their courage. We ask for more. We thank you for their radicalness, and we ask for more. We thank you that they will be part of building a momentum that you're wanting to do, and it happens relationally through mothers and fathers. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing things right now that will inspire us to run faster and further through these people. So fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. This is a family blessing thing, so you can pray out loud now. Just release blessing all at once if you want. This is a family thing where we are speaking over them. We are speaking our blessing over them and our thanks. There is an interchange that's going on right now. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just words. Thank you, Lord, that you're touching them anew and afresh. Joshua succeeded through courage and through preparation and the nearness of God, and we release that back to our fathers and mothers. Philip and Viv, do you want to stand as well? And some people gather around Philip and Viv. They were here also and carry part of this. We just have a few people around them at the back here. Thank you. More mothers and fathers. So have they got their hands out? Here we go. We're going to pray for an impartation now. Some of these people actually met and knew John Wimber, who started and released this movement. And we just want to say to you, you carry the same thing that the Lord started with John Wimber. That's the DNA of this movement. And so we bless all that you carry and have received. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our mothers and fathers. We thank you for their faithfulness, for their legacy, and for the millions of ways that they have served us and blessed us. Thank you for the way that they have discipled, and thank you for the way that they have come and stood with us and released gifts amongst us. And now, Lord, we say it's time for the new pioneering for our mothers and fathers. It's time now for you to show us what the role of mothers and fathers look like. We have not had that in our movement in a healthy way, and so we release you to pioneer a new role It's the mothers and fathers leading us on with generational unity. And we just thank you now for even your spirit that's resting upon them. That's an impartation of the spirit of mothering and fathering. Put it upon them, Lord. You're the Father that releases this. And for some of you, you might just want to look around the room and you see that some of them are receiving it in very visible ways. Some of them are receiving a gift from the Spirit that's being put on them for this new pioneering work. It's going to look different for them. They need to make sure that they are leading out of their role as mothers and fathers so that the DNA continues to remain strong in our church, in our community, and in our nation. So, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Some of them are going to need to sit. The rest of us can just sit down, and well done. Bless them. Give them a hug if you need to. Thank you for what you're doing, Holy Spirit. If you want to just keep receiving, that's great. This stuff is real. It's actually the Lord at work. So some of you are mothers and fathers, and you've pioneered in other movements, and you're coming amongst us, and you're coming with the same heart as mother and fathers, and we recognise that too. We recognise you. We recognise all the pioneering that you've done as part of your history. So sons and daughters are all the rest of us, and I'm saying I'm taking dibs on both, right? Because I'm a new lead pastor, so in a sense I'm a son and daughter as well, learning all that the Lord's doing in this season. So stand up if you're a son and daughter, if you're people part of the vineyard, and that you are here now to run the leg of the race that the mothers and the fathers. So anyone that's a part of this church, stand up. And if you're not, you can join us by praying in a moment, all right? I know, it's a little bit weird, isn't it? Funny day to visit. Let's, mothers and fathers, all few of us, and let's clap and welcome and say how amazing it is to see the fruit of this vineyard. Woohoo! Sons and daughters of the Vineyard tribe, because you're part of this church, you are the ones that are running the next leg. Joshua's arising. You guys are taking on the spirit of Joshua, no matter what age you are, the spirit of Joshua, to help lead us into this next season. We are going to pray blessing on you as well. So this is why we celebrate you. We recognize that we have an inheritance that we did not work for. We have an inheritance that's been given to us. And we have a DNA that's been shared with us because of what the Spirit's been doing amongst our mothers and fathers. They built the foundation. They dug the dirt. They did all the blood, sweat and tears in the early days. And we've come alongside them, right? To honour them, the inheritance that they've given us. Isn't it nice when someone gives you something free? Right? That's what we got. That's what we received. So we're not going to treat it lightly. And that's why we're taking a moment now. Because we've had a lot of people go different places with our inheritance. And we're saying right now, we are going to take it and run. We are going to take it and we're going to serve the community like we saw with life groups. And we're going to take it and we're going to say, Father, give us the radical sense of what you're doing so that we'll be as radical as those mothers and fathers. We, mothers and fathers, we are going to cheer you on, but we can't run anymore in the same way. We can't do it. You can, yeah, some can. Some mothers and fathers can. So, the inheritance you are receiving and have received, YVV, it's never going to run out. We are saying, we're putting a stake in the ground and saying, this inheritance is ours and we are going to treat it before the Lord and steward it in the way that He desired for us. We're not going to treat it lightly. Oh, so fun. It's so fun. The Lord's wanting us to not be comfortable anymore. Are you ready for that? Even in our prayer meeting before church, they're saying people are praying uncomfortable prayers. And uncomfortable prayers often show themselves here. So we are not going to let ourselves get comfortable, are we? Sons and daughters, I just want to release you into an invitation to ask the Holy Spirit, what does radical discipleship look like for you? Because radical discipleship for the mothers and fathers started this church. What's it look like for you, radical discipleship? And I'm going to say, turn it up, Lord, that your radicalness, you won't even recognise yourself because of the Spirit upon you. Because you see, no one's going to run this stretch of the race for us. It's us. We're the ones that are saying yes to Jesus. And we can't wait for our dreams to be met by our mothers and fathers queuing into it. We have to actually start those dreams ourselves, the heart dreams, the things that you're longing to see of the kingdom amongst us. It's your turn to start to dream that and try and figure out with the Holy Spirit, what does that look like? It's your turn to run this part of the race. Movements often fail with the second generation because they don't sustain what has been given to them. We're stopping that at the pass. We're saying, not on our watch. We're saying we receive it and we want to give it away. And the thing that I'm asking the Lord to plant in you as sons and daughters is conviction. Conviction like a tree. Interesting. I have been talking too long. Conviction. Interesting that it's conviction that we lost it at, isn't it? You are standing, and we are going to ask that the Holy Spirit will give you conviction to be able to run yourself, not wondering whether you have the permission of the mothers and fathers. We release you to run with the radicalness of the kingdom that's inside you. So we're going to ask that you will receive a heart conviction and a kingdom conviction, and that you're going to be kingdom people in ways that the Vineyard movement will just go, go YVV. That is awesome, because it's stamped in your heart. So it's going to be tricky because we've got less mothers and fathers. So let's just turn in groups together, maybe groups of eight or so, and we call this a daisy chain. All right? So I want you to hold hands with the sons and daughters around you, and we're going to daisy chain it up and see what the Holy Spirit does. You can move chairs if you need. Daisy chain it up by holding hands. And if there are ever any mothers and fathers that want to just come, or people visiting, come and lay your hands on these daisy chains. And here we will ask the Holy Spirit just to bless you as Joshua was blessed for his new assignment. All good? Everyone's connected somehow or putting their hand on someone? First of all, sons and daughters, let us say to you, thank you. Thank you for being here as a second generation of our movement. Thank you for being here as a second generation of our church. We are so delighted that you are here in this space, in this time. And we thank you and we bless you and we recognize you as a gift to this family. And right now, we are asking, Lord, that you would release the same passion and even more ons, Lord, more on them for passion and conviction, so that these fathers and mothers will be able to release this inheritance and multiply it that's already in their hearts. For those that have come from other nations to join this work here, we bless you, we see you, and we say, release those things from the other nations that you brought with you. For the fathers and mothers, I hope you're releasing and blessing them right now, that you're just going after it. We thank you for the vision that these people will carry, these second generation, these sons and daughters. They are going to be given visions, not just dreams like Barry shared. We're going to see them actually receive right now vision for a different future. You will be pioneering new thresholds, and you will have courage, and you will have the presence of the Lord taking you there. So, Lord, we ask now that you, through the power of your Spirit, would release the spirit of sonship and daughtership on our second generation here, on our sons and daughters. Release a spirit of sonship and daughtership into their hearts. Thank you, Lord. We honor them. We celebrate them. We thank you that they are links in a chain that is a family chain, where they are saying, it's not about me, it's about a family inheritance. And so, Lord, let the power of your Spirit be upon them now, giving them courage, giving them insight and wisdom, just as we read about Joshua. And where they have been prepared, we now ask that you would burst open doors of opportunity for them, that preparation would meet opportunity, and they would know your Spirit's leading them there. Right now, the Holy Spirit's just on a lot of you, resting on you, and others are just receiving, and you're going to recognize a difference in the days to come. It is no small thing what you are receiving. We're going after it because we want a different future than what we've had. We want a future where the Spirit of God is stirring up His people to take us to the places we need to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we release the DNA of the vineyard to every person that's receiving right now through the power of your Spirit. Right now, the kingdom DNA that they need to run this race. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Wow. We've got some youthful vigour going on over here. It's very good. If you're asking what on earth was that about, let me just say that there are some things that got sealed just then, and things are going to be different. Things got released but also sealed. And so I can't wait to hear what the Holy Spirit's going to do through each of you. And I also just want to encourage you, as lead pastor, my approach is the Father's already at work with each of you. My approach is He's already doing things in your life and through your life. And as lead pastor, my approach is to come alongside. As mothers and fathers, we are coming alongside, believing that the Holy Spirit's already doing stuff because the Father's doing stuff. And we are going to, over the next few weeks, just start to see so many stories bubble out. Next week's going to be much more practical. Next week's going to be some things that we're going to just say, hey, this is what we believe God's saying. Are you in? Do you want to cooperate with us? So next week will be also fun, but maybe not quite so long. But today, a spiritual impartation happened. It came through worship as we were focusing on Jesus. And then it also came through the power of His Spirit, quiet or loud. Doesn't matter how or what you think happened to you, something just happened. So we're going to finish saying, when Joshua got into the promised land, they carried 12 stones, which you'll read in Joshua 4. Those stones were the sons and daughters, Joshua and his tribe, going across, and they built a memorial. They did that because in Joshua 4 it says, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do those stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. The Lord dried up waters of Jordan for you to cross over and pass over. And the Lord did that with the Red Sea, and He dried it up for us, and we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Sons and daughters, you are going to have the most amazing stories to tell. Pick up your stone as you go through miracles that are ahead, even if it's like broken water bottles, things bursting out. Notice the small things that He's going to do, because you are going to have your own stories. I know you already do, but there's more coming because of your radicalness and because of your nearness to Jesus. Some of you are sitting here saying, I want stories. I want to have more stories about things, but I don't have those type of experiences. Some of you are saying, well, I do follow Jesus, and those things are real, and I believe those stories. It's not happened to me. And others of you say, I don't even know if those stories are real. So wherever you're sitting, there's invitation to find out more of what the nearness of God looks like for you. So we're just going to finish with a couple of questions on the screen. Is there a threshold moment that you are approaching while you're following Jesus? Is there a threshold moment? A jumping off the cliff moment into his arms? Is there a passing the baton moment that perhaps you're experiencing or you know is coming? In whatever daily life you're living following Jesus, is there something that you need to pass on or get someone to run with you? What's that look like for you? We're in a season of fruitfulness, and we are seeing in our churches, and here particularly, there's an increased mobilization to do the message and ministry of Jesus. There's an increased appetite to have our own stories, and he's going to meet us at that place. And we're pursuing the nearness of God through his Spirit, and that's a dynamic, a personal, a powerful reality for each of us through the relationship of his, with our Father. It's all about authority, not about loudness. And it's all about kingdoms colliding and darkness being displaced by love. Are you up for it? Yeah, I can sense that. So today's ministry time has been already, and we're also going to just invite opportunity for people to stand and respond to needing more courage, if that's something that you would like to ask for more of. And the other thing is, if you just want to recognize the nearness of God in your circumstances right now, the presence of God, he's really wanting to meet you there. Courage and nearness is your promise forever if you know him. Forever. Stand up if this is something you would like prayer for. I'll read this out, and we'll just do the same as we did then as ministry time today, since it's 1:45. So as I read these things out, I just feel like the Lord's going to do a microcosm thing, a microclimate around you, and release to you some things that are on his heart for you. So just simply stand where you are if this means something for you and you just like people to bless what God's doing. Do you need to hear this today from the Father? Stand up if you do. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you can live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail you or abandon you. So anyone that would just like to have that sense of no one's going to stand against you, stand up now. We will gather around you. Just where you are, stand up. If you really want to know that God is with you in everything, no one can stand against you. No one can fail you because he's with you. Second thing is, stand up if you feel this is for you. Do you need us as your community to stand beside you and say, be strong and courageous? Whatever you're facing now, we want to stand beside you and say, be strong and courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he's going to impart courage. Stand up if that's something you need to have. Someone coming alongside you so that we can just pray for courage for whatever you're facing right now. That we can pray that you will have such a confidence and conviction that courage is part of your promise. Okay, church, let's gather around them and let's pray. Ask them what they stood for and bless them. Pray more of that for them. Right now we've got people standing, so just go and, again, lay hands on them as we saw that that's a thing that happens with impartation, but also with blessing. So we've got some people at the front who need some people to come and quickly gather around them. Put your hand up if you stood and you haven't got anyone. Okay, Keith over here. We have a couple of people to pray for Keith. This is great, church. It's wonderful. Just a couple of people at the front. And one for over to my left as well. Adam. Okay, just simple, easy prayers. And if the Lord's resting on those people, just bless what he's doing. If you... Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We'll just continue to finish off your prayers. The Lord's been amazing. You've been amazing. Thank you for your patience and just for going after it. We do have kids that need to be picked up. And just be sensitive as we're packing up the area that there are still some people getting prayer. So just
As we pack up our chairs, let's just let them receive first. Bless you all. We'll see you next week.